This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Cleaning, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVNB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVNB podcast. This is our 376th episode, and this is our 80th episode of our seventh season. Season eight starts later this month when spring training kicks off. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by one other host of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
Kurt is not with us tonight. This is two episodes in a row that he's not on.
Yeah, he's feeling a little under the weather, so we're sad that he's not here, but hopefully he'll rebound and get to feeling better soon.
That's what happens when you have little kids, you know? You're just always bringing home crap. Daycare, sickness.
Some school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daycare, sludge, and sickness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty hungry, Corey.
Me too. I'm going to eat some popcorn. Oh, I thought we were talking about our diet. Our Cubs.
See, I was trying to talk about both.
This is what happens when we go off script. So we are, even though the fact that Lyle has not turned in his weight for this week with the Son Ranto podcast, I think that's a sign that he doesn't want to turn in his weight. And so I think it's a safe assumption that we are leading in this thing. Which I'm suddenly more comfortable about coming up with a wager when we're ahead.
Because it's going to involve the losers doing something embarrassing at spring training. Is
apparently,
that correct?
Even though I think Danny's the only one from their podcast that's going to be there, but I don't know.
So Michael's going to just have to do it wherever he is
right.
In Colorado.
Right. Yeah. We can come up with something, I'm sure. We are recording this episode on the last day of January. We're just a few weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting. Things are really kind of starting to ramp up, I guess. It was warm today. It felt like spring. So I think that's one of the reasons today I started really thinking ahead to spring training was it almost felt like spring out there.
Yeah. It made me think of, April weather at Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Right.
Today.
Right. So on this episode,
let's play ball.
Yeah. On this episode, we're going to talk about some upcoming dates, some spring training stuff, the status of Jake Arrieta's contract for the upcoming season. We'll look at the prospect list that was just released by MLB.com. We'll go through spring training non-roster invitees, and we will look at Dexter Fowler's chances of returning to the Cubs for 2016. But before we get to all that, we've got some news to share. I've talked on the podcast here about us not doing an IVNB bus trip to a Cubs game this year. We couldn't get the game that we wanted. So instead, we are doing a meetup at the July 23rd Cubs Brewers game in Milwaukee. And I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty fun. I've never been to Miller Park, so I'm looking forward to that. I've just driven by it on the interstate there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. But you've been there before, so you kind of know a little bit more what to expect from the park.
I've been there before, but I don't exactly remember most of the game or any of the drive home. I was not driving, just for the record. I was not driving. But yeah, the fact that you can tailgate at Brewers games makes it, I guess, people think that like Wrigley Field is like a drunk fest, and I don't really drink when I go to Wrigley. But when you can tailgate, like hang out in the parking lot and play bags and barbecue, like, I don't know. It's just, you have to drink. So So that's what we're doing.
A recipe for a memory wipe.
right. So that's what we're doing. We are, we have a group of tickets. So, basically, here's what you need to do. First off, you need to go to ivmv.com/tailgate. That's what we're calling this. And the tickets are $30 a piece. That includes, the ticket into the game. And then, we will have food and everything like that. We'll get a reserved tailgating area, and, we'll have food and all that kind of stuff and just hang out the parking lot at, in the tailgating area at Miller Park opens three hours before first pitch. So I think the first pitch is like at 6 or 6:30 or something. So the tailgate will start at 3 or 3:30. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we just, published it, and gave people the opportunity to buy tickets like, I don't know, 3 hours ago or something. And we have sold 22 seats or 22 tickets already. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep. And I don't think that, there's necessarily a, I don't think we're capped at any, you know, as far as number of tickets or anything. So we should be good. And, if we need to, we'll rent, a bigger, tailgating area. So we'll have fun. So there's that. Oh, but I do want to mention, in order to get these tickets and to get the right number and everything, you're going to have to move on it fast because the cutoff is, February 12th. So that's what next, if you're listening to this, it's not this upcoming Friday, but the following Friday, if you're listening as soon as we're releasing this. So, February 12th. And again, the tickets are only $30, so way cheaper than our bus trip. But unfortunately, you're responsible.
Just have to get yourself there.
Right. You're responsible for your own transportation. So, but it should be a lot of fun. So again, go to ivnv.com/tailgate and, get your tickets now. And then spring training, we're talking about it. So it's coming up. We will be there. I don't have the dates in front of me. Do you remember what dates we're going to be there? I think it's the
week of the 19th or something like that.
It's like the 19th through the 25th or something. We'll be there, for the games that are like Saturday through Friday. But we don't have tickets for the Thursday night game in Scottsdale where they're playing the Giants because I refuse to pay $40 for a spring training game. That does not seem necessary.
Yeah. I couldn't believe how much the tickets were to that game for a spring training game. We'll go to the backfields that day, I assume, and we'll see a lot of baseball. We won't see the game that night.
Keep our eye on like StubHub, see if it happens to drop right before that. But I don't know. You know, I think like the general admission tickets to go to Sloan are like $18 or something like that. I just think it's crazy that the Giants are charging $40, or at least that's what they're going for right now.
Yeah, I mean, I got tickets to the Reds Cubs game, the away game for the Cubs for $8.
Right, I know.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a day game, but still.
Yeah. But we're going to be there and we'll be hanging out the whole time. We're doing a meetup thing at the Yucca Tap in Tempe. I don't think it's in Mesa. But anyway, if you're out there for spring training, obviously, and you're listening to this, hopefully you'll hook up with us. And we're going to go to the Yucca Tap, and Danny Rocket from the Sun Ranto podcast and Katie Day, who wrote By the Lakeside. I'm sure you heard that song last season. And they're going to be performing there, and we'll just be hanging out there on Sunday night. So show up for that. It'll be a blast. We'll be there for all the other games. And I think we pretty much got general admission for all of the games except for the Sunday game. We'll be up on the rooftop thing there at Sloan Park.
Rooftops.
So, yeah, should be fun. Can't wait. Okay, so let's get into things here. The MLB pipeline through MLB.com released their top 100 prospect list. And despite a lot of talent being called up to the big league club in 2015, the Cubs still had six prospects on the list. So, Andy, why don't you run through the Cubs that were on this list?
Yeah, in fact, the Cubs are tied for second place with the most, you know, as far as the most players among the top 100. They're tied for second place with those six players. The Phillies are first with seven players. So, yeah, I mean, you would think that after a lot of these players got called up, they'd have some work to do to replenish the farm. But it's pretty stocked still. And looking at this, Corey, I found that there are two teams that don't have a representative among the top 100, and that is the Angels and the Marlins. Oh,
Can you imagine? Well, I knew it was going to be the Angels. I didn't know it would also be the Marlins, but the Angels have like an absolutely dreadful minor league system.
Yeah, I mean, but that's depressing. I mean, if you're a fan of one of those teams, gee whiz.
Yeah, but they have Pujols.
But anyway, I remember we saw that back lot. I mean, that B game last season at spring training, and the Angels had a squad, and the Cubs looked pretty good against them.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
anyway, yeah. So
I think we have a little bit of a delay tonight, but speaking of the B game, if you are going to spring training and if at any point they schedule a B game, make sure you go to that because we went to it last year. If you listen to our podcast last year from when we were at spring training, we had a blast. And you get to see unique things like Dan Vogelbach was the first base coach for the Cubs team. But it was so much fun, and it was basically just an empty ballpark. I mean, how many people do you think were there, Andy? Like 100? Maybe
50.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 to 100.
Yeah.
And you could sit wherever you wanted to. So we were right behind home plate. We saw a Chris Bryant home run from, you know, like the third row.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, like all of the reporters, like the beat writers and stuff that cover the Cubs were sitting down in the stands with us. And Theo and Jed were sitting a little bit behind us. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So if you do have the opportunity to go, make sure you do it. If they do one.
John in the chat asked if Marlin Man was there and Marlin's Man was there. And I don't think he was there, if I remember correctly.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
So that's one thing.
It'd be hilarious to go to
one event he didn't make it to.
To go to a B game and wear a Marlins a visor. And a like an orange Marlins windbreaker, like to a B game where there's no one else there.
Dude is everywhere. But anyway, yeah, back to the top prospect list. So the Cubs, as you said, have six players among that top 100. And the first one appearing on the list was number 28, Gleyber Torres. He played mostly low A last season, and he hit .293 at South Bend. He's projected to start at Myrtle Beach, but he got a lot of hits last year. He had 140 hits in 129 games and drove in 64. So he had a pretty strong showing last season. It'll be fun to see what he does in spring training, and he'll most likely be there at Myrtle Beach. The second player was Wilson Contreras, coming in at number 50. And he wasn't ranked last year on this list, but he played at Tennessee. He hit .333 there. He got 151 hits in 126 games, and his OBP was .413 at Tennessee. He drew 57 walks, and so that's pretty exciting to see. And he possibly will start in Iowa this season, so. It's nice to see that the Cubs have another catcher in their system who is making a strong showing.
Right. And not only was he he's the 50th, number 50 on the prospect list, but he was the top ranked catcher in all of, you know, in the minors and all of baseball. So that's pretty cool that he, you know, the Cubs have, not only do they have Schwarber, you know, but then they have the best catcher in the minors.
Yeah, heck yeah, that's pretty awesome. So you have to go a little farther down the list to find the rest of the Cubs players, but Ian Happ clocked in at number 76. He made low A last season. He was, of course, the 9th overall pick of the Cubs in the 2015 draft. Just as a reminder, he's a switch hitter, pretty disciplined hitter with some surprising pop in his bat. He does need defensive work. According to Carey's article, the Cubs sent two staffers to work with him this month to convert to second base from center field. So he'll be working on that. It's not like he's never played the infield before. He's played the infield quite a bit, but they're looking to, I guess, make that a focus. Number 77 is Dwayne Underwood. Number 77 on the list is Dwayne Underwood. He was ranked 67 last year, so he's down to 77. He made high A, he was drafted in the 2012 draft, so hopefully he can kind of pick it up here. They call his ceiling a number two starter on the write-up for MLB. He has a good fastball. It's mid-90s, has some late movement on it, but he needs work on his secondary pitches, curve and change, and just control in general, which apparently has been getting better. So Dwayne Underwood is, we'll talk about how he's a non-roster invitee. So we'll get to see what's up with him a little bit down there in Arizona.
I was going to say
last couple rounding out. We have a heck of a delay.
The delay is terrible tonight. I was going to say that I saw Dwayne Underwood pitch in low A, but I have no idea how to evaluate talent. And so that's my statement. I saw him pitch at low A. I can't tell you how good he was or anything. I saw him pitch. That's your marginal analysis for the evening.
So the last couple guys that have fallen pretty far down the list, last guy making a showing for the Cubs. At 86 is Albert Almora. He was ranked 89 last year, but in 2014, he was ranked number 36. He played at Double A this season. He was okay.
We had a really rough first half of the season.
I'm sorry?
He had a really rough first half of the season and then, improved quite a bit in the second half. So I think if he would have played in the first half like he did in the second half, if he would have played the whole year like that, I think he probably would have been higher up on that list.
Right. Underwood, Almora, and McKinney all dealt with injuries last season, too. So that was a factor. Perhaps in their performances. Well, of course it was a factor, but so I'm hoping that it'll be great if they all can stay healthy this year and give the Cubs a better idea on what to count on from them. But it's interesting to look at Almora's 2014 tool ratings. From 2014 to now, like his power was rated at 50, but it's down to 40 on this year's list. And his arm was rated at 65 and it's down to 60. His fielding was rated at 75 and it's down to 65. Which is interesting because in the write-up they talk about how his fielding is as strong as ever. I don't understand that, but every time I've seen him, he just looks like a really sharp and intelligent and good instincts fielder to me, but
right.
Anyway, those ratings were down, which I thought was worth note. Same thing kind of happened to Billy McKinney. I mean, he was ranked 34 last year, and he's down at number 88, rounding out the Cubs' prospects appearing on the list. He made Double A last season. As far as his ratings go, his power got downgraded from 50 to 45. He is probably a corner outfielder, and I think his lack of power perhaps relegates him to fourth outfielder status, sadly. But that's it. I mean, a couple players not appearing. Carl Edwards Jr. was number 57 last year. He's not on the list. Pierce Johnson isn't on the list at all. I don't know. There's a few players you kind of wonder about, but yeah, that's it. Oh, and Mark Appel is in the 70s. I just saw him on there and I was like, dang. I feel for that guy.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned that Contreras was the top ranked catcher. And I noticed that Happ is actually the number three second baseman. So that's worth noting too. But I think what, like in looking at this, it's almost like the prospects are a little bit more spread out throughout the top 100. And really, if you compare it to like last year, there's not the immediate elite talent like we had last year with Bryant and Russell being right there at the very top of the list. So I think like in the future, this is kind of what maybe we can hope for is quantity over immediate quality. I mean, it's not exactly the idea I'm trying to get across. Like, especially not that these aren't quality, but
especially just, with not having a, you know, those high picks in the draft
right.
in the foreseeable future.
Right. Yeah. So that's, I mean, if the Cubs can continue this by having six of the top 100 prospects, if they can continue that, then I think that they're in good shape. And I don't, that's hard to do when you're no longer drafting, you know, picking third in or seventh or eighth. And, you know, now all of a sudden when you're at the back end of the draft it's going to be hard to do that. But I think that this front office can still accumulate talent through trades and, you know, all the other avenues that they've used, besides draft. So I guess there's not really any other avenues besides trading and drafting, but you know what I mean? there's this thievery thing that
international
they can do.
Signings. No.
Right. Actually, yeah.
Well, a lot of those players aren't eligible depending on their age, but
they will be. But, I mean, that's how they got Gleyber Torres and I think Contreras right. too. So yeah.
But yeah, it could be worse. I mean, they could have no players appearing on the top 100 right. prospect list, right. like the Angels or the Marlins.
And it's really convenient that the you know, we have like I have three minor league teams within an hour drive of me right here, and one of them is the Angels, and I've been over there, and yeah, like I'll look at their, you know, look at their media guide and stuff like that, and there's nothing there.
And is that Burlington?
Yeah. Yep. I think that I'm not even sure if they're still with the Angels now. They were as recently as last year, so. Yeah, so I guess while we're on the topic of Almora and Dwayne Underwood, those two did receive non-roster invitees to spring training, and there was a slew of other players on there, but Andy, did any of the other names stand out to you at all?
Not too much. I mean, there were 10 pitchers total, including Underwood. One name stood out to me, which was Armando Rivero. We've heard his name before. Mm-hmm. He played for Iowa a lot last season, and he's been used as a reliever and a closer in the Cubs system, a guy that has some pretty good stuff. I mean, if you look at his strikeouts per nine, he's pretty good, but he's also susceptible to home runs too. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's a guy that could be a good piece in the bullpen. Taylor Davis was a familiar name. You know, there were two catchers, right. Taylor Davis and Tim Fedorowicz, but yeah, we recognize Davis from seeing him play. We right, went to an Iowa game and saw him play there
because he gave Kurt's son a signed baseball. That immediately made it. They ran into him in the parking lot, and I don't even know if Kurt knew who he was or anything. But no, I.
And of course, there's our new favorite non-roster invitee, and infielder Munenori Kawasaki.
right. Yeah, I guess we haven't done an episode. Well, obviously, we briefly talked about him on the last episode that we did with Michael and Glenn from the Awesome 80s, but
So just for listeners, if you don't know anything about Munenori Kawasaki, just give him a search on YouTube and watch a few videos.
Just sit back and enjoy it.
Sit back, enjoy.
it is delightful.
Crack open your favorite Japanese candy.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is we're not like minor league experts in any way, you know, but I feel like we do you know, for the last 5 years, we've really kind of followed the minor leagues and everything. And I looked over this list and there were some players on there like I don't remember ever hearing of. Like, I was like, I have no idea who that is. I don't remember that name at all.
Yeah, they've just signed a lot of these guys, especially these pitchers, kind of have flown under the radar just as off-season signings by the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's really nothing on that list that gets me too terribly excited. Of the players, I guess I'm going to look at spring training and include the players that weren't on the roster last year. So in that case, I'm obviously interested in seeing Wilson Contreras. I'd also like to see what Jamer Candelario, Dan Vogelbach, Christian Villanueva do. I guess if I'm looking at minor league players, players that will be in the minors this year, start off there, especially position players, then those are the guys that interest me the most heading into spring training.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I guess a couple other guys I'm pretty interested in seeing, Eloy Jimenez. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interested to see him play for sure. And then, you know, Dylan Cease is another guy too, pitching prospect of the Cubs
who could be
pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in seeing those guys like on the backfields and stuff, but I mean, as far as like, you know, players that probably could be up with the Cubs this year and on the spring training roster or whatever. Those are, yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. But I'm really interested in seeing, well, I really enjoyed watching Gleyber Torres. Remember we watched that one game where it was like scrimmage or something like that. And Jimenez and Torres were both on playing in that game. And that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, there were quite a number of prospects playing in that game. I mean, I think Mark Zagunas was playing catcher.
Yeah. Yep.
And there was I forget who was pitching to him too, but it was another guy that was, you know, one to watch. So
it may have been.
Oh, I think Jake Stinnett.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. But we'll obviously talk more about spring training in the next few weeks. And usually the episode right before spring training or right when the pitchers and catchers are reporting, we'll do an episode where we share, you know, what storylines and players interest us the most heading into spring training. So there are some important dates coming up. Pitchers and catchers report. That seems important right now. That is on February 20th. And the first full squad workout is the 24th, February 24th. And then the first spring training game is Thursday, March 2nd. So, we're not that far. We're not that far off. The Cubs recently released their broadcast schedule. And I'm almost positive that every game is available in some form. If the games aren't on TV or the radio, they will be available on MLB.com, Cubs.com. I listened to a lot of the broadcasts that way last year. I really like Mick Gillespie, and he calls those games, so I like listening to him. The first radio broadcast is Saturday, March 5th. That's on 670 The Score. And the first televised game will be on Wednesday, March 16th. That is a 3:05 Central game on CSN. And Andy, I think that we should meet after work and watch that game.
Oh yeah, great idea.
Can we plan ahead 6 weeks and meet?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a rambling man, but yeah, I'm sure we probably could do that.
I think that'd be fun. You know, first spring training broadcast, TV broadcast. Yeah. It's kind of weird that it's midweek. Usually they do that first one on like a Saturday or Sunday, it seems like, if I remember right. But
yeah. Yeah, that is kind of strange. Yeah. But that'll make for a nice thing to look forward to.
Right.
Middle of the work week.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. And I think, and we leave for spring training like 2 days later. So there will be 10 Cubs television broadcast this spring. But keep in mind, we may get the opportunity to watch other games if the other team, the opposing team, has a television broadcast. And so that's available, obviously, if you subscribe to MLB.TV. So we're not that far away. I mean, just a little over a month away from being able to hear Pat and Coombdog call a game, and 6 weeks from Len and JD. So It's on its way.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm itching for baseball. I'm really looking forward to it. Just this, the winter drags on this time of year. And once baseball starts showing up on the horizon, it makes it feel like, you know, you're out of the woods as far as winter is concerned.
Yep. Yep. So I don't think we've spent much time on Jake Arrieta and the status of his contract for 2016. Arrieta and the Cubs, they exchanged numbers. I think, Andy, you talked about it a few weeks ago. And there was a pretty big gap there. The Cubs offered $7.5 million. Arrieta wanted $13 million. So the arbitration hearings are scheduled throughout the month of February. And if you're worried about this, I don't think that you need to be. I would be shocked if the Cubs and Arrieta don't come to an agreement and avoid going to arbitration or to an arbitration hearing. The quick and dirty on this is that if they can't come to an agreement, then they go before an arbitrator, and the Cubs will argue why they think Arrieta is worth $7.5 million, and Arrieta and Scott Boras will argue why he's worth $13 million. And obviously, these things have the potential to get ugly, and that's why organizations don't like to go there. It's basically the team's job to basically point out anything bad and about that player and try to say why he's not that good and why he's not worth that much money. And obviously that's not good for the clubhouse, and it's definitely not good if it's a player that you would like to sign once he becomes a free agent, which you would imagine that the Cubs would be interested in signing Arrieta. And so, yeah, the Cubs had a good clubhouse last year.
I think, though, that the Cubs will still try to approach it from, like, more of the comparables. Like, if they did have to go hearing, try to find, like, historically comparable situations and the pay raises that were given to the players in those examples, you know? I mean, yeah, obviously they'll have to make a case for why he's not quite worth what the figure that he put out there. But, I feel like they would still try to avoid it being acrimonious as much as possible.
Yeah, I think it could be done delicately. But still, I think you just don't want to go there. You don't want to open up that can of worms. And yeah, I think the Cubs had a good clubhouse last year. They don't want to do anything to ruin that. And, at that point with an arbitration hearing, there's no meeting in the middle at that point. The arbitrator decides with either the club or the player. Theo Epstein has never gone to arbitration, and I just don't think it's going to happen here. I would be shocked if it did. And so I know there hasn't been much in the news about this situation lately, but I really don't think it's anything to worry about. I mean, Andy, you mentioned that it could be the Cubs could, you know, kind of rely on comps to try to make their case, but you don't see this happening, do you?
No, not at all. I think you've already made a strong case for that. It's in the Cubs' best interest to make it happen before that, even if they have to spend a little more than they were anticipating. I think they'll do it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to Dexter Fowler. So this is something that I've been hearing a lot of Cubs fans talk about lately, and Fowler. I don't really know where to go with this. Like, I don't see... Well, first off, I was just kind of curious, and so I was just kind of looking around on the internet, and I happened across Dexter Fowler's nickname. It was on some baseball website. Do you know what his nickname is?
No.
It's Daddy Long Legs.
I feel like I have seen that before now that you mention it.
I've never heard that. But where are you at? Where are you at with this Dexter Fowler thing, Andy? Like, do you want to see
it? There's so many. I don't understand. Number one, I don't understand why he's still a free agent. It seems like he would be a pretty useful player to a lot of teams.
I don't think there's a big need for center fielders right now. I think that's partially it.
But anyway, also, I don't see him playing for the Cubs at all, especially with Jorge Soler still there. I don't see it happening at all. And I don't think the Cubs want to move Soler unless they get like a crazy deal for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Like, I think bringing him back makes sense if they plan to move Soler for pitching. I think Hayward is, you would prefer to have him in left field over center field. But I just don't see it. I mean, unless they move Soler, it doesn't make any sense to me, because at that point he would basically be like a fourth outfielder, and I don't see how that does him any good. And even if he signed like a 1-year deal, it just doesn't make sense to me. And especially because if the Cubs sign him, they don't gain a draft pick, where if he signs somewhere else, he gets that compensatory draft pick, which, you know,
as much as I hate to say it, I think he makes a lot of sense for perhaps a team like the Cardinals. I mean, I've seen people say that same thing. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think if they don't gain a draft pick by him signing somewhere else, and they lose too by signing Hayward and Lackey, I don't know. I don't think he's going to come back. And to be honest, like, I don't know. I don't want to sound negative, but I don't really understand why so many fans are like really all about him coming back. His defense was terrible. You know, like, he was pretty cold for stretches. I mean, he wasn't bad, but I sure like our outfield more now.
Yeah, I liked him. You know, if it made sense, I'd love to have him back, but it just doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah, and I know that, like, obviously, I think he played a role in the clubhouse. Clearly, we don't know for sure, but, I mean, I would imagine being one of the few quote-unquote veterans, you know, even though he's not that old, but he was a veteran for this team. And so I think he was valuable to the clubhouse last year, but I think the Cubs have other players to fill that role now. And so I don't really think that's necessary. I mean, I've seen people say that's why he should come back, but it doesn't make sense to me. But if they did bring him back, it's not like I would be like, you know, frustrated by it or anything. I don't really see a point to it.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's all the stuff that I have for this episode. I thought we could kind of keep it short. And then the fact that, like, we can't really seem to, talk back and forth without stepping all over each other because of the delay on Blab tonight. So,
yeah, it's been pretty frustrating. So sorry to the listeners, but hopefully it'll be ironed out next time.
Yeah, this is like, this takes us back to like our Google Plus days, like weird delays and stuff. I think this is the first time we've ever had a delay on Blab. So I don't know what's going on.
I got a new modem that I haven't installed yet, so maybe that'll help. I don't know, once I get it installed.
Just the fact that there's a modem that has not been installed in your house, it's just slowing down your internet. Your current modem is, like, retaliating.
My service provider is like, we can see that you have an installer modem we sent. Let's go ahead and bottle that speed up a little bit for you.
We're going to throttle you tonight. It's a White Sox fan that works for Mediacom. So do you have any muscle flexes, internet muscle flexes tonight, Andy?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How many do you have?
I have one. I found one about our favorite beat reporter, but I decided against that one. So I'm just going to share this one.
Okay. I have two, so I'll do one and then you can do one. Then I'll do one.
Sounds good.
Okay, so the first one, and this is from Cubs Instagram. I don't even know what picture it was, but this person commented two times, like right in a row. The first one reads, "I hate you, Cubs." And then the second one says, "I really don't like Cubs."
Just to clarify, the poster thought they were pretty vague the first time.
Well,
so,
and maybe,
just so there's nothing.
Maybe he was like, "Well, hate's a strong word. I really don't like Cubs."
Yeah. His mom was looking over his shoulder and like, "We don't say hate." Okay, here you go, Mom. Fixed it. All right, so my my muscle flex comes from the article about Chris Coughlin on Cubs.com. And so the first commenter says that, first of all, says Coughlin is a thinking player. I don't know why. I just kind of thought that was funny. But then he goes on to say, this outfield will be outstanding with all the guys we have on the roster. I just enjoyed that typo. All the guys we have on the roster, it's going to smell really good out there. But then a commenter who I think is responsible for quite a few muscle flexes in our history says, Coughlin is an advanced bum. Grow some game in Japan and eat it. Jeez. And so then this guy responds to that and says, yeah, sure, bum/millionaire.
Man, we haven't, you went to Cubs.com for the first time in a long, we haven't been there in a long time to get muscle flexes.
Yeah, you know, I was looking through the articles there and I was like, you know what? Click on the comment section. I was like, I'm just going to click and see what commenters are up to these days. And sure enough, there they were.
I should try going back to those, spend a couple weeks back on Cubs.com comments.
Yeah. I was particularly tickled by the guys on the roaster in the outfield.
All right. So here's my last one. This is from Cubs Instagram, and it was a picture of Chris Bryant and Jake Arrieta, and the Cubs caption said, a couple of dashing young men brave the elements to accept their hashtag BBWAA hardware. And the commenter says, BBWAA equals Big Beautiful Women Anal Award. What?
You know, they thought about what it could stand for like an hour and a half and came up with that finally and really just patted himself or herself on the back.
Oh man,
probably not a herself. I'm just gonna go out on the limb.
right. Oh geez. But I don't know, I didn't see much, there wasn't that much, you know, great stuff on Cubs Instagram this time, but I saw that and it definitely made me chuckle just how ridiculous it was. All right. So that does it for this week's episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. Our Patreon associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfuls, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. We did have one person jump on board this week. That is the Sun Ranto Show. So thanks to Danny, Michael, and Lyle for canceling out our Patreon support of your show. So I guess we're even. Patreon helps us pay the podcasting bills. It helps us improve this show with things like the IVMV iOS and Android app. Those are free. You can get them in the iOS App Store or the Google Play Store. Patreon support has helped us a lot. It took the financial burden of doing this thing off of us, and we do appreciate it. If you like what we're doing with this podcast and you want to kick us a few bucks to keep things improving, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can go to IVMV.com and click on the Patreon link on the right side of the page. There's perks at every level. You can get IVMV stickers, posters, pint glasses, access to all sorts of stuff. So go check that out. Again, if you want to go to the Cubs Brewers game on July 23rd and sit with our group, and we're doing a tailgate beforehand, you have until February 12th to get your ticket to order it, and you can do that at ivmv.com/tailgate. So thank you for listening and downloading, and until next Sunday evening, go Cubs!